This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. And today is a very special time because it's lunch with Meredith and Felice. And before I bring Meredith on, I just want to share with you today our sponsors. And the first is Powerline Productions with wonderful books that focus on helping homeschool families. Whether you're beginning on your journey or mentoring teens, visit Powerline Productions, and that's powerlineprod.com. And you can also find Meredith at meredithcurtis.com. And another sponsor is Media Angels. Media Angels specializes in science unit studies, classes, novels for tweens and teens. And you can find out more about even our history courses and homeschooling with Proverbs and a lot of other stuff over there at mediaangels.com. Well, today we are going to be talking about communication, and this is an overview for a series of podcasts that I'm going to be doing this month. Lately on Vintage Homeschool Moms, I have been focusing on doing series and topics, and I have to tell you that this topic selection was really one that came in prayer. And you know, as that what tends to happen is when you decide to do a series or a teaching on a topic, the enemy is going to at some point God disrupt your peace, because things were really going along really well in my family. And, you know, when I decided I was going to do this topic, it was like, you know, all stops were pulled out. I don't know. Today I have a wonderful co-host on the line who is going to be an amazing asset because she has had a lot of experience with counseling others. So welcome, Meredith.
Felice, thank you so much for being here. I think this is such a timely topic. Because communication really helps to build strong relationships in our marriages, in our home, and with our friends.
Right, and it really is a key when we are talking about you know, homeschooling. We're both at the beginning of a new homeschool year, but no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're listening to this podcast now or in a few months' time, It doesn't matter, because communication is really key to how we present ourselves to others and also how we are able to deal with our families. If you have a lack of communication or you're not getting through to your kids, it's really, really difficult to homeschool, let alone, you know, run an effective household. And so for those of you who don't know Meredith, first of all, she is the host of Finish Well radio show, and that is also on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, so you can find out a lot more. And Meredith has a team of young people that help her with the productions as well, so definitely visit that, and I will have a link. This is podcast 98. I can't believe I'm almost at 100. And on vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, you'll find a link to Meredith and all of her stuff as well, and as well as the show notes for today. Also, Meredith and her husband are, you know, really in ministry. Pastor Mike is a pastor of a church, and I know both Meredith and Mike have done a lot of counseling. So, you know, Meredith, you've had many years of this outside of your family, and you have five children as well as I do. And so, you know, we've kind of not going to say seen it all, because you're never going to see it all. There's always going to be something that comes up that is the new thing to deal with. But we're going to talk a little bit about communication. Let's just do an overall. And then we're going to take one of four topics, and that is our spouses, our kids, our friends, and social media, and talk about communicating with them. So let's start out with just an overall of communication, and what can you share with our listeners about that?
Well, that's great to start with that. I think one of the biggest overall things with communication is to realize that people are different and they have different personalities, they have different values, and depending on how close or mature to the Lord, that can affect who they are and what they value. So the first thing is to drop assumptions that, you know, I know that when I feel a certain way, I act a certain way, but that doesn't mean because someone else is acting that way, they feel the way I do when I act that way. So we really need to become a studier of the people that we're communicating with and not just assume we know where they're going. The second thing is to learn to listen. Be quick to listen, the Bible says, and slow to speak and slow to get angry. It says that in James 1. And I know that I used to find myself, when people were talking, just thinking about what I would say next. And one day the Lord really rebuked me and said, "You're not listening." And so I learned to not think about what I would say, but just think about what are they trying to say, and am I understanding where they're coming from. And then the third thing is to maintain emotional control. The Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. It doesn't just turn away other people's wrath, it can turn away our own wrath. A lot of times when we find ourselves, you know, being angry, venting, things like that, we realize that we're in the flesh and not in the spirit, and that nothing we said will make any difference at all except to wound the people who heard it. And so learning to be kind and learning to share things in a less emotional way so that people can really hear you. I think that it is fine to disagree and argue. It just all depends on the way that you do it and the way that you treat people. So, and finally, the Bible says that when words are many, sin is not absent. And I find that when we talk something to death, when we have those people that we talk and talk and talk with, inevitably there's something said that might be gossip or unkind or thoughtless or tear the other person down. So, just that we don't need to be talking, that we do need to talk and we do need to communicate, but we need to make sure that we're thinking about how our communication honors the Lord rather than if we're getting our feelings out.
Right. Very, very, very good points. And I think, you know, when I think of communication, I look at what's happening today in the world and in our families, and We are getting so busy, and I think that's one of the reasons that people tend to be short with each other and tensions are high. So one of the things, you know, to realize is that when you're trying to communicate something clearly, that you physically, you know, do something. Like for us, it's like you sit down, or you you know, like you're not just leaning on the counter ready to go do something else, because I think that, you know, it's like the body language and all of that really comes into effect, especially if you're trying to communicate wisely, you want to always communicate wisely, but if you're trying to communicate clearly. And, you know, the other is if someone's talking to you and you cross your arms, or my kids will cross their arms, you know, there's some like little things that we cleared off beforehand. I mean, these are not all things that you can immediately set about correcting. And that's the other thing with communication. It's, you know, there's not always, you know, there definitely is a right and a wrong, but there isn't always a right and a wrong with some situations. And so it's to be a little bit understanding and, you know, to have some things that are clearly out there. You shared some of the scriptures that you like, and one for me is, you know, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit, and that's Proverbs 18:21. And I'm one who tends to talk things to death because I have a lot to say, and I have to be really, really careful of that, because I know after a short amount of time, when I'm communicating that, especially with my children, that you will lose them very, very quickly. So I keep it very short when I'm trying to communicate a point as clearly as I can and as evenly. That I think part of that is a gift. I remember communicating with some friends at one point, and we are going to get to that, but my friend would always cry. And it wasn't even that, like, it wasn't anything personal that I had done. It was just, she was a very emotional person. And, you know, she said to me once later on, like, how can you always be so stoic? And, you know, we were just different. Part of it was different personalities, you know, that I could talk right. to somebody, you know, it was over the evolution versus creation question. And she was trying to communicate to somebody and was crying, and I picked it up and was able to further, you know, tell this person what she was trying to say, which I also believed, and do it clearly without falling apart. And I think sometimes that's a key to communication, is trying very, very hard, and it does get emotional. But if you can, to keep your emotions at bay as much as you can, because it's very difficult to talk to somebody who is emotional. So, one, again, for me, a lot of it is it's the verbal and nonverbal for me when I think of communication. So the verbal is keeping your voice low. I'm not going to listen to somebody who's screaming at me. Right. You know, keeping your arms uncrossed, because that's already showing me that you're angry and you're not going to listen. And keeping, you know, like you said, you know, being able to listen, because sometimes we're impatient. We already know what they're going to say, especially with our children. And it's very, very difficult to let them say it. And especially to you mommies who have a lot of little ones, like I'm thinking of my daughter here, because her oldest has a lot that she wants to say. And my daughter does not have the temperament nor the patience. So they let her talk to daddy because daddy will let her get it all out. And so, you know, they found you have to look and see, is that helping or not, and reanalyze that. So, you know, with communication, there are so many different elements, and not something that, you know, I can even cover in four shows upcoming, but just that we want to give you some hope, because I know some of you are listening. I know that people have been frustrated with the lack of, you know, obedience from their children, or, you know, even help from their spouse when it comes to homeschooling. And that was one reason I wanted to do this series of shows, because I don't want people saying, oh, I can't deal with my kids, so I'm putting them in school. Well, if you can't deal with your kids and you're putting them in school, there's going to be a lot more coming down the pike. So just be prepared that this is, you know, maybe one element that you thought, well, if I don't homeschool, I don't have to deal with these issues. You're still going to have to deal with them. They're just going to be after school when everybody's tired, or in the evening, or on the weekends. You know, you just cannot abdicate your role as parent. So I want to give people hope today, Meredith, that we are going to give them some helpful advice and, you know, some really good things that they can at least begin thinking about, and then working with someone who is closer to home, who is a mentor and can help them. You know, maybe if you are having some difficulty in one aspect of your relationship, that you can bring it to your pastor or your pastor's wife, and, you know, talk to them, you know, or somebody, a figure of authority, or even a friend who can mentor you in that way.
Very good.
Do you have anything you want to add?
That is great. I think you said it well. I think you did.
Okay. Well, we're going to break real quick for a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to tackle communicating with our spouse, with our kids, and with our friends in social media. We'll be right back.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much, and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and with me on the line is Meredith Curtis, and this is episode 98 of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today we're talking about communication and exactly how we would want to communicate in an ideal world. I think, you know, Meredith, this verse here should be made into a plaque and given to every newly married couple, and it's Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. I think that would kind of keep us on our on a little bit more of a right path.
Oh, wow. And the thought of that verse is overwhelming because I'm like you, I have a lot to say, and I don't even want to think about that moment when I'm giving an account for every word, but the more that I do, the more control I do have over what I say.
Yeah, and I think that's the crux. You know, we're talking about communicating with our spouse. The number one thing for me that stands out is that there's only one person that we can control, and that person is ourselves. And there is, you know, I know a lot of my error comes from, you know, being a control freak and wanting things to be a certain way. And when they're not that way, you know, I get really upset and frustrated. And it's more frustration at this point. I think, you know, both of us have been married quite a number of years, and it's interesting how my discussion with my husband has changed. When we were a young, newly married couple, one of our, you know, I'm a big, you know, I'm a preventative kind of measure person. So one of the things we had talked about when we were, you know, dating was that, because it was a very short from our first going out to our actual marriage, we were both graduated from college and both had jobs. I was teaching, and actually Jeff was teaching at the time. And so, you know, I had some things that I wanted to make sure we both understood. And one of them was I didn't ever want to go to bed angry. And so that meant a lot of late nights in the early years, you know, where we could finally agree you know, and sometimes it was we had to agree to disagree, but at least we weren't upset. And so, you know, my husband started saying things like, okay, well, I'm wrong. Now can we go to sleep? You know, and of course that just was more frustrating.
Wow.
But we finally, you know, realized that, you know, what the deal was. And I think the bottom line to a lot of communication issues is the problem is not the problem. Just think about that. Very rarely is the problem that you're arguing about the issue. There's something underlying, and I know that kind of gets deep. You know, it's not a superficial, do A plus B and that will equal C. That's not how
right.
relationships are. And so that's what I did was I sat back and I looked at why we were arguing because it seemed like it was the same issue. And so for us, one of the issues very early on was dividing households and yard work and things like that. And there's a lot more to running a house than just mowing the lawn. You know, there's so many different facets. And I just had to realize that there was a certain amount, there were certain things that my husband was going to do that he was comfortable with, and I was going to have to pick up and do the rest of the stuff. And it wasn't it's a perfectly even marriage, and we're each doing 50% or each carrying our own load. And I had to overcome that as an issue, you know, because
right.
it just is, life isn't fair. And we tell our children that, but it's something that, you know, that I've had to at some point in my marriage grow up and realize, and just decide I was going to take on these things and just do it. And I know you and I are very similar in a lot of our story. But I'll let you share, you know, what are some of your, you know, growth, if you will, within your marriage and discussing things with your spouse?
I think one of the biggest things that Mike and I have had to overcome or that I've had to overcome in communicating with him is that I wanted him to change to become the husband that I wanted, and I was not happy when he wasn't the husband I wanted, and I let him know it. And so when I went to him with a real issue in his life, I was very berating and angry, and he never listened to me. He just dug his heels in, and it never went well. And then I would see some pastor friend of his come along, you know, and he would share the same thing. And Mike would say, oh, wow, I really do need to change in that. And then he would just make changes. And it really got me upset. And I think I was complaining to the Lord about it. And then the Lord just showed me a picture of myself talking to my husband and how I would be insulting and negative. And so finally the Lord just said, if you really want your husband to change and become the man I've called him to be, then you need to be on his team and not against him. And so I made a deal with the Lord that from that point on, I would only talk about issues in my husband's life if they weren't affecting me emotionally. And I just wanted to help him and serve him. And so that's what I did for years. And now it's even come to the place that I can talk to him about things that upset me and hurt me. And I can do it in a way that communicates to him, I'm on your team, and this isn't all that you are. This is just something that is hard for me, but whether you change or not, I'm still going to love you and accept you and be kind to you. And so that was a huge breakthrough in our marriage, and it really made my husband feel safe with me rather than worrying, well, what's the next thing she's going to come and talk to me about? So I think that, and then in a general way, as wives, men really need to feel like they're doing a good job, and they need to feel respected, and they need to feel that you support them. So those are just things that we don't even think of, because in our mind, well, of course we support him. Aren't we raising his children? You know, aren't we making a home for him, helping him out any way we can? But just like we need to hear, I love you, they need to hear that respect. So that is a huge lesson for us to learn in the way we talk to our husbands.
Right. And I think, you know, that for us, prayer was one of the most important things, because without prayer and without God as our focus, it really easily could have gone so many different ways. So I think that, that is so good. And I know right now a very timely movie that came out is the movie War Room. I haven't seen it, but a lot of people who have.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Have said it's amazing. And basically it's that. It's putting our prayer, as a forefront to what we're doing, and that God can change hearts. But like you found out, Meredith, that the only person, it's like when I said, the only person you can control is yourself, that we have to go to prayer and find out where we need to change. And if we're willing for God to change our hearts, we're going to find that a lot of the change has to happen with ourselves. And,
right.
And that's number one. All right, our kids. We both have wonderful children that we adore, but every child has a challenge, and some of our children are more challenging than others and take a lot more time. I know I have a few of those, and I know that it comes at different times, and they're little, and we're trying to lead them in the right way. Sometimes it seems like, oh gosh, will they ever get older? And when you're dealing with the spilled milk and that kind of thing. And so I remember having a little one who spilled his drink, and a daughter in college at the time. And I was like very happy to be cleaning up that spilled drink, because that was the least of my problems. I was like, nothing. Would do that all day long rather than have to deal with the other things that come along. So with your kids, what can you share with us about communicating with them?
I think children are all different, and we have to be interested in getting to know them and seeing their feelings and their thoughts as valid, not necessarily that we're going to agree with them or do what they want, but I think that we need to treat our children with respect, and then we need to constantly communicate to our children that we love them and that we are for them, and that our love for them is not related to their behavior, but our love is related to the fact that they are ours. And so I think if you lay that foundation in communication, then it's easier to talk about the hard stuff. I think sometimes just being real clear. I have a child who doesn't, isn't the neatest kid in the world. And so we're going back and forth about, I'm trying to communicate to her, I'm not happy with the way your room looks. Well, finally, I just realized I just need to tell her what I want. What are my minimum requirements? And so I just said, hey, listen, this is what I want. I want to see, I don't want to see things on the floor that don't belong there, and I want to see your bed made every day. So she looked at me, and she said, oh, well, I can do that. So obviously in all the, kind of negative communicating we were doing, she had thought that my expectations were very, very high. And I was wondering, well, why doesn't she put forth any effort at all? And now we're able to, I've communicated clearly. She's accepted that. And now there's been a real change. So then I can go back to her and say, hey, I'm really grateful. You took what I said to heart, and I'm really pleased with how your room looks. Even though it's not necessarily the standards that I would want, it's meeting my requirements, and I'm thrilled with that.
Right, and then you can go from there, because I've done the same thing with my kids, and my husband is the one who told me to do what you said. That did not even occur to me, because he said, just go in there and pick two things. So, in fact, this morning before I came up here to record the show, it's exactly what I did, and I said to my daughter, I want the drawers closed, because she uses those as, like, you know, she'll open up her drawers and then put her hair dryer across her drawer, her dresser drawer. And so I said, you know, I'd like the doors closed, things picked up from the floor. Her sister gave her a box of books that need to either, she needs to go through and shelve. That box needs to be out of there and her bed made. And she just smiled, you know, so we'll see whether that got done or not, because I did throw out quite a few things, a few more probably than you did. But that's what Jeff says to do, you know, just pick exactly what it is. And I did the same thing with Michael. And so... you know, I found that for myself that helps a lot when I'm trying to clean up. Well, for me, the relationship is very important, like you were saying, and that does take time, and it's really sometimes a difficult thing, especially if you have quite a few children, and the one who is the squeaky wheel tends to get the most attention, and it's not negative attention. And one of the things I want to share with you is a teacher technique that I learned long ago from a wonderful, wonderful teacher that I had in college. And she pointed out a lot of times the child that is causing the problem in the classroom, there's a reason for that, and they will take negative attention because that's the only attention they can get. And so I've remembered that in my family, and so what ends up happening is that child is removed. So for me, one of the biggest things that I have done that I think has helped quite a bit, and this goes for your spouse too, you do not argue with your spouse loudly and angrily in front of the kids. I mean, like some of those things we're taking as given, Meredith, because we've been married quite a while, but that's something
right.
You probably needed to say. And another is the same with your kids. If you are a screamer or a yeller, or my favorite is what I was and tend to be at times is a threatening, repeating parent that doesn't follow through, your kids are going to learn that very, very quickly. And so you really want to be careful of that point and make sure that you do follow through, and that if you really need to talk to a child, that you remove him and yourself and you go to another room. Or my favorite has been looking at my child and saying, you know, I don't know exactly what, there is going to be a punishment. I don't know exactly what it's going to be right now, but I'm going to pray about it. And I have a whole story that I'll share with you guys when I do my talk on, you know, communicating with your children, because the Lord, He really does come through in those times when you cannot figure out what the discipline is going to be, you know, and you need to figure out something like, you know, that fits the crime kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, and also I'm going to talk about kids, when I call it the lie-based thinking, that really, like, you can talk to them and try to reason with them, but they cannot be reasoned with. Because they have lie-based thinking, and a lot of that takes a lot of work and a lot of prayer. And so I want to share with you some stories about that as well, and how, you know, we've been able to bring our children, you know, to repentance and things like that. So there is hope. And then we're going to just take just a few minutes and talk about our friends and social media. I'm going to start really quickly with this, just quickly. You know, Meredith and I, this is vintage homeschool mom, so we're past our, you know, our 20s and our 30s and our 40s. For me, I'm past all those years. And, you know, and I'm in my 50s. And so I have had, you know, many relationships through time. And I will just tell you right now that I wasted a lot of time on friendships that would drag me down, you know, like friends who always had a problem or an issue that I would try to help. We cannot help and fix every friend or every problem or every relationship, And so sometimes you just have to remove yourself and just tell that person you will pray for them and then make an effort to pray for them. Not to say that you can't help your friends, but I just know of so many people that are bogged down with friendships that drag you down. And, you know, if we had, you know, a solution for everyone, or if you have a solution, you know, please email me and share that with me. But that's just one of the things. And the other is, you know, choose your friends wisely, because they can be a great impact to your children, and both in the negative and positive sense. So I'm just going to keep that out there. And then social media. I do not waste any time arguing with people about anything online. I mean, it has to be a very major thing for me to get involved in the conversation. And I think a lot of the reason why is I've seen it turn out very, very badly. And then all of that effort, emotional effort that gets put into these discussions often get deleted anyway by whoever owns the group or whatever. So you know, be careful what you write. That goes without saying, but we'll say it anyway. Be very, very careful. You know, share your love and share God's love. But be, you know, if you see a trend or something on there that you want to, you know, share truth with, and it's a really negative group of people, it's just much easier for me to pray for people than to send anything. And if it's something that I have to share with somebody and I don't want to put it in writing, I will do that in a phone call. Just recently, a customer was having some difficulty ordering something on my shopping cart. And I do see there was a couple of, you know, attempts. And I don't know what the issue is. I know that shopping carts can be finicky or whatever. But the customer emailed me and said, you know, I can tell that this is a spam site, or it's, you know, you've charged my credit card 3 times. Well, there hasn't been any credit card processing go through. But, you know, it hurt my feelings, and customers tend to do that. So if you're a customer, you know, try to resolve the issue. I offered to call the person, and no, I do not have my phone number on my website. I'm a small business, so I don't do that. I know a lot of homeschool vendors do, and I applaud them, but I don't. So just be careful, you know, like how you're wording things and what you say, and try to resolve the issue with Christ-like love.
Good. That's very good. I think just knowing that in friendships, there will be arguments sometimes. There will be disagreements, and that is mm-hmm. just part of what it means to be human and live in a fallen world. But all relationships can be restored. I really do agree with Felice that we need to be careful in choosing our friends. And I like to think of myself as friendly to all people, but my close friends are few. And my close friends are the ones that when I share my heart with them, they will not tell me what I want to hear, but they will point me to the Lord, and they will try to help me grow in Christ. And those are the people that I want on my team. Those are the people I want to run with. So that is very important to me, that my friends that are the closest to me, they really love the Lord, and they're supportive of me, and I can be supportive of them and their lifestyle choices. So it doesn't mean they have to be doing the same thing as me, but it means I'm not going to be, you know, spending a lot of time investing in a relationship that's going to bring harm to my relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then also friendships that are the best for me are friendships that don't take a lot of constant time, but I really appreciate friends in my life like Felice and Susie from college, where we just pick up where we left off, and we don't know, we don't have to talk every day. We don't have to, you know, but we can sit down and then catch up. And sometimes we can talk and not catch up, but just pray for one another or support one another. And so I have been very grateful for those kind of friendships. And then grateful for the people that I do life with and serve God with. And I think friendships grow as you serve the Lord together. It's a great way to build a friendship.
Yeah, I agree. And then social media, Meredith? Do you get into those heated arguments?
No, I don't. I will just post something, and then if people want to argue and disagree with me, I really don't get into arguing because I don't see a sense in it. If someone asks me questions, I respond. But I think that, you know, I'll sometimes post something and say, oh, this is worth thinking about. You know, I will post pro-life things because I do feel that's the biggest stench in our culture. And so I do want to make sure that I'm constantly voicing support for unborn babies. But beyond that, like I said, I post things and, you know, I just recently posted something about China and their buildup in the Pacific Ocean over the last couple of years. And I just expected there to be someone to say something negative, but no one did. And I realized, oh, people aren't even thinking about that, you know. But other times I posted stuff and people have been angry. And I just, you know, it's just not worth it. There was someone who was very divisive on my social media. And I had to go to her and say, listen, I appreciate you, but if you don't stop arguing with my friends, then I am going to have to, you know, delete you as a friend. And mm-hmm. after that, she just stopped. And what it was is she was very bitter at the Lord. And so if a Christian would say something on my site, she would just start arguing with them. So that's the only time I've had to do that, and I didn't have to delete her. But other than that, I've never had to delete anyone for that.
Yeah.
But I think some people have deleted me because I'm so conservative, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine, you know. That's what I tell people. I mean, that's fine. I don't, and that's the thing, you know. I think I've mellowed in the years, so it does help. Well, Meredith, thank you so much because this could be, you know, a very touchy topic for a lot of people, and a lot of people have problems communicating well. And I know I was having issues, you know, as well at different times, and especially lately since I've been praying about doing this series. You know, it's been a challenge to say the least around here. So I just want to thank you again for coming on with me and sharing your heart with everyone, and we will pick up again next month with Meredith, and I will be doing an entire series from on Vintage Homeschool Moms about communication. Thanks again, Meredith. God bless.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.